Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Team down and three to go. Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm Josh Clark, the Dallas correspondent at NHL.com, joined by my co-host Kenneth Nash, the site expert at NolanWrighton.com. And Kenneth, we've got a lot to talk about here on this Sunday episode. Want to wish everyone out there a happy Sunday. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying safe and staying healthy. But Kenneth, as I referenced to open the podcast, 13 wins down. The Dallas Stars are now 13 wins deep into their 2020 Stanley Cup playoff run. They need three more to grab the Stanley Cup, to hoist the Stanley Cup for the first time in 21 years. Kenneth, they took another step in the right direction on Saturday night. A dominant 4-1 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Stars came to play, Kenneth, and we have so much to talk about regarding this game, so many different storylines that we need to get to, but as we've done throughout the majority of this playoff run, let's just start by talking about the basics. This game, again, had a lot to digest, a lot to dig into, especially regarding the Dallas Stars side of things.
Yeah, the first of all, thank you for letting me get in there. We're going to start timing Josh and how long he can just like take off on an intro. He's had some pretty impressive intros. That was up there with the best of them. He was letting
Thank you.
He was letting that one run, but I did, but there was a little pinch where I was like, I wonder if I'm going to talk in this one or not.
hey, you. I try and leave the door open in like little microseconds to see if you can squeak a hey in there or something like that, or how's the weather or something like that.
How's the weather?
Now you're in. It only took 70 seconds, so that's a positive.
It's probably not the longest, but no, it was obviously Game 1 Stanley Cup Final, and the Stars looked very good, and it was in some aspects the usual cast of characters, that being Anton Khudobin, who shined and led the way, and then at the same time, it was a very unusual cast of characters, especially when you look at the list of goal scorers. Kind of run you through the game. We've done this little bit of a quick recap for you. We know all of you watched. It's the Stanley Cup Final, for crying out loud. But we'll go ahead and run you through it.
Tune out.
If you didn't watch, we know you go watch it and then come back and listen to this.
Go watch and then come back after you watch.
But the Stars did pick up a 4-1 win. Did pick up a 4-1 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. 5.5 minutes into the first period, Joel Hanley. That's right, Joel Hanley, first career
number 39
NHL goal, first career NHL goal, was a beautiful, beautiful shot from the slot. He pinched in really nicely. The defenseman filling in for Taylor Fedun, he really filled in, and he's kind of taken over that spot. He's been very, very good in that third defensive pairing. He got things going. His first NHL goal was a very important one in the first period. And then I'm going to say it wrong. Is it Yanni Gourde? It's Gourde, right? That's how you say the Tampa Bay.
Yeah, correct. No, you didn't say it wrong. You got to have a little more faith in yourself, Kenneth.
I've messed up some names pretty badly. One thing about being from Texas, and this is a tangent. One thing about Texas, I am pretty good with like Spanish names or names of like Hispanic heritage or anything like that. Like European names, I am
Seguin.
Awful. Yeah, Seguin, Texas.
Tyler Seguin. Yes.
But I'm awful at European names or any of those. So that's why I don't trust myself. Anyways, though, Yanni Gourde, 12.5 minutes in, he gets credit for the Tampa Bay goal, the only goal of the game for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was kind of a fluky finish, though. Deflected
kind
off of Gourde. We're just going to give you the benefit of the doubt. It was a shot from Coleman, I believe. Coleman deflected off of Gourde, off of Hintz, off of Khudobin into the net, I believe, if I've got that right. I know it at least went
something
off
like that.
It at least went off of Gord's skate behind the goal line. He was behind the net, deflected off of his skate, and then off of the back of Anton Khudobin into the net. That was the Tampa Bay goal in this one. Pretty fluky. 1-1 at the end of the first period. Jamie Oleksiak, though, he has been phenomenal in this postseason run. He got his fifth of the playoffs. 12.5 minutes in, to the second period, restored that Stars lead. Nice job. He took a shot. It bounced right back to him, and he did a nice job containing the rebound and then finished, put it up top shelf, gave the Stars a 2-1 lead.
Using that reach.
Yeah. When you are the big rig in this series, you do what you got to do. And then Joel Kiviranta, yes. The man does not stop. His fifth goal of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which if you had told me at the beginning of this playoff run that Joel Kiviranta would have 5 goals, I would not believe you. But he got his fifth, made it a 3-1 Stars lead with about 30 seconds left in the second period. And then the Stars do what they do best. They shut up shop. Jason Dickinson, though, did get his first of the playoffs with an empty netter with about a minute 20 to go in the game. Polished off a 4-1 Stars win. And Josh, that's about as textbook as the Stars could have drawn it up.
Yeah, and it's funny, Kenneth, I was going to pitch this to you on the way home from the Fox Sports Southwest studio. I was thinking about the podcast tonight, and I thought, is there a way that we could potentially take the link from one of the Stars' wins against Vegas and then simply tweet that out and add in a cheat sheet, just changing a couple of the names around, you know, just changing a few names, changing a couple, maybe take away a goal here or there. But at the same time, just tweet that out, because I feel like we're saying a lot of the same stuff right now. The Stars came out of the gate hot. They really took it to the Lightning through the first few minutes. They looked like the better team by a good margin, Kenneth, I would say, for the first 20 minutes of this game tonight.
That's fair.
They really took it to the Lightning. They set the tempo. They set the pace. They got up in Tampa's face. They were really physical. I think 106 combined hits tonight in the game. Stars got off on a really physical note. They were emotionally invested, more emotionally invested than the Tampa Bay Lightning, to be exact. And as a result, they took advantage. They took control of this game. That goal from Joel Hanley put them together. And I think they put them ahead, but you even texted me, Kenneth, when Yanni Gourde scored to tie it up. And we talked about how it really didn't feel like a game-shifting goal. It still felt like the Stars were in full control of the game. And I even told you, I was like, I think that, if anything, that's just going to, the Stars are going to see that it was a little bit of a fluky goal, and it's just going to give them more motivation to keep pouring it on and get this one out of reach quickly.
Yeah, the Gourde goal was a bit of a fluky one, you know, to an extent that you don't even see. I mean, you see some weird goals go in. That's one of the ones that kind of takes the cake. And so I think from a Stars perspective, either that's a goal that kind of deflates you because you're just overly frustrated that even went in, or you view it like I think the Stars did, which is like, hey, we were already up 1-0. We're dominating the game. We're dominating the scoring chances. Probably could have had at least one more, if not two more. Andrei Vasilevskiy played really fairly well in the first period. Rebound control was a little bit suspect, but I thought he made some very important saves on some very point-blank shots, really. He had a couple of stops of Tyler Seguin that were very, very impressive.
Yeah.
But the Stars, they dug in after the Gourde goal, and you know, that's what they need to do, and this is what the Stanley Cup Final, this is what you have to do. And they clearly, what I appreciated, and I feel a little bit vindicated, because I talked about this when I was on Locked On Leafs earlier this week, previewing this series, because Josh was unable to, so they call on the second string, make a call to the bullpen. But
don't call yourself don't sell yourself short, Kenneth. Gosh, what? You have to be a motivational speaker too.
I won't now, because I feel vindicated, because I said that the Stars are going to have to when I was asked about how the Stars were going to have to play, I said they're going to have to play this kind of style, the style we saw late in the series against Vegas to win the series. And what do? They come out, they play aggressive, physical, strong, physically early, strong early, and they rely on Anton Khudobin. But they were dominating, I thought, the quality scoring chances, the high danger chances, even though the shot totals are going to end the game, you know, ended the game heavily in Tampa Bay's favor. For the first 30 minutes or so, shot totals were fairly even. Actually, they were pretty much in the Stars' favor, actually. But I thought the best chances were in the Stars' favor, and I thought they did a really good job. They blocked shots. They made their chances count. And then when they got that 2-goal lead going into the third period, it was over. And you know it's over. And that's not an arrogance, you know, because we cover the team, or, you know, for me as a fan of the team, that is this is what the Stars have done all Stanley Cup playoffs long, is when they have a 2-goal lead like this, it is so, so, so difficult to get back in this game. All you have to do is ask the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you saw a lot of Stars fans tweeting out saying even when Tampa was pouring it on in the third period, Stars fans tweeting out, "I feel so comfortable right now with where the Dallas Stars are and have no worries at all." And that's just what this team has built themselves into throughout the 2019-2020 regular season and throughout the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs so far. Plenty more to talk about regarding this 4-1 win in Game 1 for the Stars against Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll get to it right around the corner when the Locked On Stars podcast continues in a moment. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, happy Sunday to all of you out there listening and tuning in. Kenneth, I was thinking during the break, if you want me to be your motivational speaker and really like hype you up for your hockey knowledge and your Stars knowledge, I will do it for a small fee of $39.95 a month.
Let me check on how much it would cost either Alexander Radulov to do that or Anton Khudobin, and then I'll get back to you because I think I would like the two of them. Anton Khudobin's just a little cheeky. We're not going home. You know, that's always great. Alexander Radulov loves the adjectives that start with F. Those can get you fired up sometimes if they're well placed.
Fair points. Fair points all around. Yeah. Well, my offer's on the table. If you need it, I'm here for you. That's what we do here at Locked On Stars podcast. We care and it shows. But anyways, let's get back to game one.
We care and it shows. Locked On Stars.
And it shows. But anyways, let's shift back to game one for a minute. Dallas Stars picking up a 4-1 win on Saturday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning to take a 1-0 series lead in the 2020 Stanley Cup Final. Kenneth, we talked about it prior to the break. I mentioned that, you know, we could honestly just add or do some fill-ins and do some patchwork on an old episode from the Western Conference Final of the Stars and Golden Knights. Voice over a couple times where we say Golden Knights to say Lightning, and then maybe change up the score a little bit. But for the most part, we've been saying the same thing for the past couple games now, and that's that the Dallas Stars came out strong, set the tempo early, picked up an early lead, and then when the third period rolled around, they were up one or two goals. They shut the door, played their strong, stifling style of defense, and even though the Lightning got 22 shots on goal in that third period, not a whole lot of them were high danger chances, not a whole lot of them were necessarily threatening chances to get back into the game. But even when there were a handful of them, Anton Khudobin once again came up brilliantly. And now we need to talk about Anton Khudobin for a minute, Kenneth, I want to pitch this idea to you for a minute.
Okay.
Just stay with me here. And I think you're actually going to sympathize with this because I think you said something similar about a week or two ago. Throughout this playoff run, the Stars, NHL and NBC, NHL.com, etc., when the Conn Smythe trophy has come up, everybody has immediately said Miro Heiskanen is going to win it if the Stars, you know, make it to the Cup. And if they win the Cup, obviously the Conn Smythe trophy goes to the player that was judged the most valuable to his team during the playoffs. So it could honestly be, it doesn't have to be from the winning team. But at the same time, everyone was saying Miro Heiskanen, because obviously, rightly so, he was setting records, franchise records, NHL records for, you know, second year defenseman, 21-year-old defenseman, leading the team in points right now. But through these past six games, starting with game one against Vegas, I think you can really make a very legitimate argument at this point. And of course, as Joel Kiviranta reminded us on Saturday night, the Stars still need three more wins. They haven't won the Cup yet.
Yep.
The Stanley Cup is not theirs. There's still plenty of time for Tampa to claw back into this series. There's still plenty of time for things to shake up either direction. But you can make a legitimate argument now, Kenneth, that Anton Khudobin should be the Conn Smythe winner should the Stars lift the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I think what you're referring to is after the Vegas series ended, you know, I said something about when the odds came out for that award previewing this series that I thought he would be the favorite. I actually did check before we started recording, I can't cite to where I looked because I really don't remember, but I believe his odds were equal to Miro Haskins entering the series. Now, of course, they were not the favorites. I believe Braden Point was the overall favorite to win it because the Lightning are the leading candidates. Entering the series were the favorites, odds on favorites to win the Stanley Cup. But
right,
I think what that all culminates and what that all tells you is over this past stretch, and really I think there's a definitive difference between the Vegas series and everything before. Once the Vegas series started, I think when you look at Anton Hudobin in the Calgary and Colorado series, first of all, part of it was perception. It was still kind of we're relying on Hudobin until Bishop is back. I think that was kind of how a lot of fans perceived it, maybe the team perceived it. And so I think that was a bit of a shift. And then also I think Anton Hudobin, while he was good in those series, those were much more open series. And the focus was more on him making timely saves, not him making as many as he's had. And so he could give up three goals. The Stars were going to deliver four or five. And so it wasn't on paper. It wasn't some stellar effort. But he was making right. The timely saves, the big saves. And so it was really one of those, on paper, it doesn't look like it's as good a performance as it probably was. But I think right. you start with the Vegas series, and really if you take out game two, where everybody was pretty crap on the ice for the Dallas Stars, and you start at the Vegas series and go from there, he has found another level. The team, I mean, frankly, the team's found another level. They not only did they kind of revert back to the defense first, slow the game down, heavy forecheck, clog the neutral zone kind of identity that we saw during the regular season, but they've done that to another degree. They've upped it a little bit, and along with that, Anton Hudobin's been even better. In that Vegas series, you would be hard pressed to convince me that there was another player on the ice that was better than him for either team. He was superb. And what does he do? He follows it up with arguably, I think, one of his best performances of the postseason so far tonight, Saturday night against the Lightning, especially late. He made some unbelievable saves. I know he had a ricochet one of a shot that bounced up, and he caught it with his blocker hand, I believe.
Hasek-esque.
Yeah, as it was up in the air, and it was headed towards the goal. It was very... There was at least a decent chance that puck was going to end up in the net because it was going to bounce off of something. And Anton Hudobin kind of catches it in midair with his blocker hand and pins it against his leg. He had a toe save that was unbelievable, and I don't even remember who it was on anymore because he just save after save. And so, he's upped it. And I think the Stars, I think what you're seeing, and this is an outsider's perspective. Obviously, we're not in the dressing room. We can't tell you what's going on. And they've believed in Anton Hudobin this whole time. But I think there's 110% commitment and belief from the guys in front of Anton Hudobin on a nightly basis that he is going to always have them in a position to win that game. And that is a scary, scary thing to face when you're opposition, because if he's that good and his team knows he's that good, that just opens up so many different possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you said it right. Jamie Oleksiak tonight, first question, he was sitting next to Anton Hudobin during the Zoom post-game interviews, and first question was, Jamie, want to hear you talk about yeah. Anton a little more. And Hudobin looking entirely disinterested.
Unfazed.
Right next to Oleksiak, just as though, like, I'm sick of you talking about me, don't want you to talk about me anymore. But, Oleksiak saying his play's been speaking for itself, he's been great for us. Rick Bonus following that up by talking about how, he's a fierce competitor. He was confident tonight, and you could tell that he was on top of his game because those saves that he made were very confident. He didn't look scrambly. He didn't look out of place. Every time he had to make a high-danger chance save or even just a typical run-of-the-mill save, he was in the right spot ahead of time, Kenneth, and he was making the saves with ease and with confidence.
Yeah, real quick before we step away for the break. Yeah, I think to me, and I've said this a couple of times, Anton Hudobin is one of those goaltenders that you can visually see where he's at in terms of sharpness and awareness by how he handles the pucks that aren't necessarily high danger pucks, at the time, that aren't necessarily shots. And he had one, and you have to forgive me, it was in the first period. And I can't give you necessarily all the scenario here, but it was a shot essentially that went off the inboards. There was nobody right around him, but the speed with which he was able to sweep the puck away from going, because it was going to rebound in the slot, and the speed with which he was able to react and sweep that puck before it even got there, he does those little things. And when you see him do those little things, to me, every time I've seen him do something like that, he has been locked on for the rest of the game. Locked in. We're locked on. He's been locked in for the rest of the game. So I think, I don't know, to me, and maybe I'm making, you know, something out of, you know, too much out of something small, but we've seen him do it a few times where he's just been hyper aware of where the puck is at, even when it doesn't seem like he needs to be. And to me, I saw him do that in the first period, and I mentally went, all right, he's locked in, let's roll. And that's just, he's on another level right now.
Yeah, and you can tell that from his play. You can tell that from the teammates around him that are confident in him to make these plays, keep them in these games, and, you know, at some point, at certain times, will them to a victory, Kenneth. And so through the past six games, a .954 save percentage, 1.57 goals against average, and one shutout. Anton Khudobin is feeling it right now. And as you said, Kent, that's a scary place to be if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, seeing this guy who wasn't even supposed to be the starter for this Dallas Stars team, now just three wins away from a Stanley Cup and looking as good as he has throughout this entire Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yep.
Plenty more to talk about regarding Game 1 between the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll get to that right around the corner when Locked On Stars podcast continues in a moment.
Before we step away, we've talked to you about it before. Built Bar is the best protein bar ever. Josh will testify to that.
I can entirely testify, yes.
But here's what's crazy. Built Bar's back, and they're better than they were before. They were already the best tasting protein bar. And they are, Josh, way. They are better today than they were before because they've got six.
How could they have gotten any better?
Well, let me tell you. They've got six new flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That's on top of their 12 original flavors, a couple of those that we really love. Banana nut
like
bread.
Banana
that's,
bread?
Yeah,
oh.
That's the goat of all the Built Bar flavors.
The
They're all amazing. And then that's, you know, just the next tier, banana bread. Then you got mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate. Those are some of the originals. They still got 12 of those. These bars are amazing because they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. But, and here's the but, they are good for you. They're great if you're a health conscious guy, you're looking to lose or maintain weight, maybe indulge in a delicious treat, but you want to stay on whatever eating plan you're on, or maybe you want to get a little bit of extra protein, but you don't want just a chalky protein bar or a chalky protein shake. Dive into a Built Bar. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great if you're on the keto diet. Let me run you through one of these flavor profiles real quick. How about the cherry barcia? 17 grams of protein. You heard that. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. These are covered in 100% chocolate, and yet they drop those nutrition stats, not facts, nutrition stats, like I just read to you. They drop those in those bars. And right now, our listeners can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order of Built Bars. That's promo code LOCKEDON. $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, wrapping up this Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, whenever you're listening to it, this Sunday episode. And again, I've said the word so many times already, Kenneth, but I'll say it again. Happy Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Happy Sunday to all of you out there
Sunday,
listening.
Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. It's like a monster truck rally. But anyways, we're not talking about monster trucks. We're talking about hockey, specifically Dallas Stars hockey. Stars picking up a 4-1 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday night up at Rogers Place in Edmonton to open the 2020 Stanley Cup Final with a win. They are now three wins away from winning the Stanley Cup. That still sounds a little surreal, Kenneth, the fact that they're already 25% 25% closer than they were yesterday to winning that cup. And for the second time in franchise history, first time since 1999, rather. And, you know, Kenneth, tonight during postgame, Rick Bowness was asked about, the question was posed as coaches are rarely ever fully impressed and happy with their team's performance. There's always something that they can pick apart and say, we didn't like this. Yeah, like, you know, even I worked high school football. I worked Football Friday for Fox Sports Southwest on Friday night. And one of the coaches, I think it was at West Orange Stark, his team had playing their first game of the season because their couple games had been canceled due to Hurricane Laura. First game of the season, they beat Newton 76-0 or 70-0. And in the post game interviews, he's like, "Well, we took too many penalties and we kind of slacked off in the second half." And I'm like, "Wow. Wow, you're still finding stuff." But Rick Bowness pointed out today that any win is a good win. In response to this question, any win's a good win, and he said it was a really good performance by the Stars. He said for 40 minutes, that's exactly how we want to play, because that was Dallas Stars hockey. We were setting the tempo. We were emotional. We were physically invested in the game. We took that lead, and then in the third period, even though they got, you know, he was like obviously getting outshot 22-2 is not part of the game plan, but in, you know, spending those, not even so much the shots, but just spending significant chunks of time in the defensive zone, he said not part of the game plan. But at the same time, Kenneth, they knew that Hudobin was going to shut the door. And he was impressed with Hudobin's efforts, impressed with the team getting that early lead, and crafting it all together into a 4-1 win that really looked like a dominant win for the Stars team.
Yeah, you know, and I think as good as they did look tonight, I think there is something you can pick apart, especially in that third period. Obviously, the shot totals, as much as this team is good at kind of retreating into a shell and limiting shots and blocking shots and relying on their goaltending, you don't want to be outshot to that degree necessarily, and you'd like to kind of push out of your own zone, like you said. I think the one thing that's probably the most concerning, and when I say concerning, I don't mean, you know, it's keeping me or Josh or Rick Bowness or any of the players up at night or anything like that, but they took three penalties in the third period, and I think that's something that they need to clean up, because I think, one of them was a delay of game on Blake Como. A little bit frustrating because he was deep in the defensive zone. He was trying to clear it to make, a shift change. And he was kind of cross-checked in the arm a little bit as he was letting the puck go. Sends it over the glass, but that's going to be one that they're going to feel they can have back. Tyler Seguin tripped Nikita Kucherov late in the third period, I guess about 13 minutes in. Probably one that he could have not done, and it really wouldn't have changed anything. You know, he could have not tripped him. It wasn't I had to make the play, or there was no avoiding it. You know, so you look at that, and those are the three things that I think, in the proverbial whiteboard, or the hypothetical, that's the word I'm looking for, whiteboard that's in that dressing room in that after the game. Those are the three things I think Rick Bowness and the coaching staff are circling and saying, hey, 40 minutes, great job. Third period, great job blocking shots. Dobby was phenomenal, but we can't spend 6 minutes on the penalty kill, especially against a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning. You can't give them, if you're going to give them more chances because you're just protecting your two-goal lead, that's one thing, but you can't give them man advantage chances like they did, because, three penalties, we've seen it. Three power plays can change a game. Yeah. In a heartbeat. So that's going to, I think, the thing that they're going to look at and go, we need to limit those and not take three, within, basically an 8 minute span.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's obviously comes with the territory of trying to quote unquote turtle and protect your late game lead. You're more prone to taking penalties when you spend more time in your own zone. But at the same time, the Stars, I think, only allowed three total shots on goal through those first two power plays. And, Kenneth, besides that, and even though you aren't entirely impressed by that third period, they still kept the Lightning off the scoreboard, scored an empty netter, and Anton Hudobin came up in the clutch, as we said, 22 of 22 in the third period overall. 35 of 36 on the night, and you score four goals, Kenneth. Remember what we talked about on Saturday. This Lightning team has given up two or less goals, or had given up two or less goals in 11 of their 16 playoff games going into this series. Tonight, the Stars score four on them. Now, one of those is empty netter, but at the same time, it counts just the same. So four goals, the Stars offense was out and ready to rumble. Meanwhile, their defense kept its structure, kept its style, and really suffocated that game down the stretch. And as a result, we get another impressive win.
Yeah, and I think the promising thing if you're the Stars, and first off, you know, when you're getting to sit down and kind of nitpick three penalties in the third period of a third period that you didn't give up a goal, you actually outscored them technically, even though it was an empty netter. You know, that's because they were in a position to win the game, and you won the game 4-1. So you go in, and the details, the things you did wrong, are going to seem smaller. The thing that if you're the Stars, the thing that I'm happy about beyond the fact that you just won game one is the fact that I thought, despite the fact that Tyler Seguin didn't get a goal, and he's still kind of struggling through a bit of a goal-scoring slump, and you know, some of your other big-name guys didn't necessarily end up on the score sheet, I thought at times they looked really good. I thought Tyler Seguin had some very, very good opportunities. He was denied by Andrei Vasilevskiy a couple of times. I thought there were some other names that really could have, you know, were a good break away from maybe putting a puck in the back of the net. And so why that makes me feel good is you look at the guys who scored. We read them to you. Joel Hanley, Jamie Oleksiak, Joakim Ranta, Jason Dickinson. You just won a game without Jamie Benn, Corey Perry, Tyler Seguin, Joe Pavelski, Denis Gurianov, Alexander Radulov, Miro Heiskanen, John Klingberg. None of them scoring a goal, and you won that game. Right. So, and I thought they looked good, so I think there's offense to come, and you're already sitting with a 1-0 lead in the series. I think this is a big game for the Stars. Obviously, every game at this point is huge, but this is a team that has shown an ability to win a series, especially when they're out in front. They know how to play series when they've got the series lead, and that's a good sign. And you know, there's still three games to go, but they are firmly, firmly in the driver's seat, and I thought this was a very, very impressive performance in game one.
Yeah, depth matters, right, Kenneth? We've talked about it. Depth matters. The Stars getting lots of points from defensemen tonight, actually hitting a rather impressive mark, Kenneth. Now 58 points by defensemen, by Dallas Stars defensemen in this Stanley Cup playoff run. That's only happened, or there have only been 10 instances in NHL history where a team has more than 58 points by defensemen, including only twice over the past 20 years, being the Los Angeles Kings in 2014 with 59 in 26 games, and Detroit in 2009 with 60 in 23 games. And so, Kenneth, lots of depth scoring, like you mentioned. The superstars for the Stars not on the scoreboard, but Dallas still finding a way to get it done. On the other end, you look at, look at the top line of Tampa: Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, and Andrei Palat, combining for a -7 rating. Victor Hedman, a -2 rating. None of them getting any points on the board. Yanni Gord getting the lone goal, and Barclay Goodrow and Blake Coleman getting the assists on that. But other than that, a lot of minuses around. Pat Maroon getting a 10-minute misconduct. Kenneth, that's the other thing you have to look forward to, is frustration going to settle in? If we saw frustration settle in with Vegas, especially starting game three after that overtime win by the Stars. Will frustration settle in against a hardened veteran team like Tampa? And if so, how quickly? Because tonight, it certainly looked like they were flustered, not being able to crack Khudobin and not being able to get back in the game after the Stars took the lead.
Yeah, that's going to be something to watch. And I think we saw it late in the Vegas series. I think like games 3, 4, and 5, you really could see that frustration building. I'd be interested to watch, because even though they got on the score sheet tonight and obviously they finished with a goal, they weren't shut out. They're not going to look at that as necessarily a positive. You know, it wasn't some great offensive, you know, play or great shot or anything like that got them. It was a fluke. It was an accident. Yeah. It was something that happens 1 in 1,000 times.
Puck luck, as they call it.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're the Lightning, you're looking at this and going, there's not a whole lot of positives to take. So it goes one of two ways. You can either wipe it from your memory, say, all right, throw it out the door best you can. It's over. We played like crap. We got beat. Move on. Or you come back in game two and maybe you don't get a goal early. Maybe the Stars get that first goal and you're scoreless through the first period. And you're starting to kind of get that itch of what do we have to do? And then you end up in a territory that Vegas did. Whereas they were almost trying too hard at times and making too many passes and trying to find the perfect opportunity. And when you start searching for that and you're frustrated, it rarely, rarely goes well. So I'll be interested. That's one to watch. And I think the Stars are going to be in tune with that. And I think they're going to notice what they have to do to kind of push those buttons. So I would expect some frustration and maybe a little bit of chippiness in game two. But the Lightning are a very, very talented team. So, you know, they're not going to kind of curl up and go away. It's one game. As much as this is a great start for Dallas, it's one game in a seven-game series. They still got to win three more. So it'll be interesting. But I think frustration is something that you can definitely at least keep an eye out for when it comes to the Lightning in game two.
Yeah, as Lightning head coach John Cooper put it, post-game, he said the Stars were out skating right from the opening puck drop. Meanwhile, it looked like his team was kind of dipping their toe in, trying to feel out the waters while the Stars were just going headfirst and taking control, as they did in Game 1 with a 4-1 victory. And as John Cooper also said, got to have a short memory, got to flush this, try and take some positives from that third period where, you know, there's the balance between the Lightning were pouring it on and the Stars were simply sitting back and letting the game come to them after taking a 3-1 lead. But at the same time, short memory for the Lightning. Stars try, it will also, that's the plan for the Stars also, is have a short memory, Kenneth, rest on this for a couple hours, and then tomorrow morning get ready for game two, get back in the zone, because game two is going to be a biggie. Stars can take a stranglehold on the series with a win. Lightning can build back their own set of momentum with a win on Monday night as well. But Kenneth, I think that's about all we've got for this Sunday episode. A great Saturday night. Good episode today, Kenneth. Very proud of you. Remember, I'm your motivational speaker now. Unelected. But good episode. Good win by the Stars. They're now three wins away from the Stanley Cup. Say it with me, everybody. Three more wins. What a run it's been so far. And Kenneth, anything you got for us before we hang up?
We'll run you through the normal list of things. First off,
yeah,
thank you to everybody that's listening. And if you're wondering if my audio sounds different, I'll be upfront about it. I'm sitting in the front seat of my truck in the driveway.
He's driving
recording.
To McDonald's right now. It's pathetic.
I am not.
Terrible.
I'm sitting here with my laptop and microphone in my lap because people are at the house and they're asleep.
Podcasting and driving is dangerous.
It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. So,
Gosh. It is.
Yes. So that's my excuse. I'm going to lean on that one. But as always, make sure to hit subscribe if you haven't, so we show up in your feed every day. We're going to be with you all throughout this Stanley Cup stretch, this final series, and beyond into the offseason and everything like that. So keep it locked in here on Locked On Stars. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Stars. We got our 300th follower today. It's unbelievable the support you guys have given us on Twitter, so thank you to that. And make sure to follow our personal accounts too. I'm at Kenneth_Nash19, and Josh is at Josh_Clark02.
Fantastic. I liked that locked in at Locked On. Also want to share my own thanks. Thank you all so much for your continued support, listening to us, subscribing, leaving us reviews, following us on Twitter, interacting with us. We've loved this journey so far since February 3rd. And let's keep on going. Stars three wins away from the Stanley Cup. And Kenneth, right before we hang up, just one quick little tidbit. In this 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, teams that win game one are 19-3 overall. That's all we're going to talk about. That's all we're going to say. And we're going to hang up. 19-3 series record, by the way. So other than that, that's all we've got. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Enjoy your Sundays. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.